There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. And as we get started, checking the radar, another band of rain coming through here for Mobile County in the next few, next 15 or so minutes. And, of course, Baldwin County, you'll get it afterwards, our leftovers over there. But it's good news. This is like what we usually get for Senior Bowl. The weather today is 41 and raining. That's usually the Senior Bowl. It just came a day early, so we get it out of here. Senior Bowl weather looks fantastic for tomorrow and so many other things going on out there. So good news. Tomorrow got some sun and some temperatures up in the 50s. We'll get more from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams on the way in just about 25 minutes. Also, in the 1 o'clock hour, Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine joins us. Lots to talk about with the chief, and we'll get into your questions and, of course, my questions coming up at 1. So you can actually stack those questions up through email or the text line, and we'll get them lined up for 1 o'clock. All right, leadoff batter this hour. It's good to talk to this man. He host of multiple radio shows, you know, WVNN, Talk 99.5. He does that TV thing with Alabama Politics TV. You hear the audio here on Saturdays at FM Talk 106.5. Also, author of inspirational books for kids and slow readers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dale Jackson. Hey, man.
How you doing? Thank you for the lovely intro. It's DaleJacksonBooks.com.
Okay, there you go. So, I mean, children or people that read at children's level, right?
Written by a child for children.
Right, so very good. So that's how I use that. That's my segue. Follow me. That's my segue into talking about schools. You know, I mean, reading at what level? And I mean, would this be a third or a fourth grade book in Alabama schools?
Well, if you ask legislators, they think only 50% of third graders can read at a third grade level. So let's not be too ambitious. Let's say third grade.
Okay, so third grade level books. Yeah, check it out. Once again, the website.
DaleJacksonBooks.com.
There you go. All right. So with that clunky intro into the world of school choice, that's been obviously a big story this week with Senator Barsh bringing the ultimate school choice bill to the mix. We've been talking about it. I know you have as well. Let's talk about school choice and, number one, kind of how they've laid this out, how it would work with this account. And all. Are you the pragmatic, the working mechanisms of this, are you following it? Do you think that works?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good the way they're doing it. It's revolutionary. I mean, truly it is. $6,300 for every child to go to either a private school, a home school, or if it transfers to another public school, that money would just obviously follow the child completely. I think that's pretty simple and easy to understand. I think it's a bit ambitious. I'm surprised there hasn't been more calls to chop the homeschoolers out of there. But, yeah, this is a huge, huge, huge swing.
Now, of course, it's, you know, the question is, I mean, makes it out of committee. Does this, you know, what does this thing see a House vote of yes? Does it look anything like it does now? I mean, you got any feeling on that?
If it's going to pass, it's going to change significantly, and I don't think it's going to pass this legislative session. This is, I've been saying this, it's like the beginning of a snowball. You're at the top of the hill, you got a little tiny snowball, and you're just now pushing it down the hill. And this is the beginning of that. At the bottom, it will be a giant snowball, and it will pass. The question is, how big is the hill? Is the
right.
hill...
How long, yeah.
3 years? Someone said to me yesterday, very smart guy, very involved in Alabama politics over the years, he says we're 25 years away. I don't think it's that far. But it's definitely probably not this year.
Yeah, if you talk about it, and I'm glad they're talking about it, I'm glad we're talking about it, because the concept I think is very defensible. And so on the flip side, when you're hearing that this will destroy public education, I think it's indefensible, the people saying that. From what I have seen, almost if you react and say this decapitates, like was said, public education in the state of Alabama, you're in a way making an argument for this bill. Because you're saying then if given a choice, the way my gut tells me, if you're given a choice, most Alabama families would walk away from public schools. I don't know that that would be true, but that's right. If you're going to decapitate public schools with this bill, then you're saying that if parents given a choice, they'd leave.
Yeah, the status quo is indefensible right now. You just can't defend it. We're 52nd out of 50 states or something like that.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. And by the AEA's own logic, 70,000 kids will leave the public school over this, and I guess they have to stop them. I mean, that's basically what they have to do. So if 70,000 kids will abandon your product if given a choice, maybe your product is a problem.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't instead sit here and say, how do we protect this product?
I mean, that by their own admission, like you're saying, if there's store A that's been there on the corner forever, and you say, listen, if you let store B open up, all my customers are going to go over there. Well, what does that say about store A? You hadn't been doing your job.
That's exactly right. And store A is basically empowered by the legislature to continue operating the way they are. They're
correct.
Giving them more money all the time. All they say is more, more, more. And think about this. Your most adamant defenders of public schools in this situation are the same people that last year and next year will be telling you that public school is racist and terrible and bad and it doesn't get the job done and all these other things. And this year they're saying, oh, but we need to keep the status quo exactly as it is.
Speaking of those defenders, so when the bagpipe player, the mighty Highlander chieftain, Christopher Harris over at AL.com, got into our conversation on Twitter yesterday evening, he says that school choice bill will destroy educational opportunities for low-income kids, pointing out that most of those low-income kids are black, so therefore you must be bigoted if you're supporting this, because I guess he thinks black families couldn't move their children as well. I'm at a loss here what the Highlander is saying.
Well, that poor guy is a perfect example of the white savior complex. He thinks that he is out here fighting the fight for African Americans, which is nice of him to come over from England to do so, but he's here to fight the fight for African American families when he knows absolutely nothing about it. I referenced a name in there, Roland Martin. He is a commentator on a bunch of different cable news channels and stuff, and he calls this a giant issue for families in the black community. He's a very liberal guy, and he knows school choice will help African-American families. I mean, again, the idea here is this little pasty white guy from England knows everything about what's going on with black families in America, and therefore we got to keep them in the public schools, which are failing them. It is the most ridiculous thing you could possibly say, and I actually appreciate him doing so, because he's advocating for school choice right there, and that's all he's doing. He has no idea what he's talking about, but he is actually helping the argument once you explain to him that, in reality, we're talking about like 60%. I said 60%. I was told that number is a little low. But I asked today State Senator Arthur Orr, I said, so what percentage of the money will stay in the school system if my kid leaves? Like, I take my $6,300, and off I go, and I take my kid to a Christian academy or whatever. 25% stays with the school. Now, again, I'm just an idiot who writes children's books and talks on the radio. But what I do know is this. If you take 25% of the money you're going to spend on my kid and put it into the pool and spend it on all the kids, the average amount spent per pupil goes up.
Yeah, I just did the back of the envelope math on that, and I'll second that. That is, if you're, and if you believe, even though it's been proven that it's not all about, we can see here in Alabama, dollars spent, it hits a certain point where it doesn't return better education. But,
by the way, that was done by your buddy there, the Highlanders,
yes,
buddies at AL.com.
Yes, that showed. I mean, I had Tricia on talk about it, and it goes down the list and shows that you can't just keep spending money. At a certain point, it doesn't result in better test scores for these kids. So, but if you want to believe that, and it is all about the money, and you're William Wallace there, who's championing that, then why wouldn't you say this is a boon for those schools? They're going to have more money per student.
Yeah, It doesn't make any sense, because if you make that argument, your whole argument is thrown out the window. I do want to say this before we got to go. Allegedly, there were 44 lobbyists arguing against this in the Alabama legislature this week. Just to put that in perspective,
44.
There are 140 legislators. That means each one of the lobbyists sent down there to kill this bill had three legislators to talk to. That is a massive army of legislators sent down to do the work to oppose 70,000 kids getting a better education.
A full court press coming. Do you have, like, were all 44 coming from AEA, or what other interest involved?
The argument would be that they would come from, like, the Association of School Boards, and you'd have your local AEA, you know, Uniserv reps and all that stuff come down too. The number I was given was 44. So let's just roll with that.
Okay, so that's what's going on now. Once again, you're saying that this is the small snowball on top of a hill. We don't know how long this hill is, but you do think it ends up becoming a giant snowball. But when is the question?
Yeah, that's the question. The snowball will eventually take out the AEA at the bottom.
See if it happens more quickly than it. And you know, in talking about this, the example I want folks to look at is Florida. That's not like a world away. You know, it's just to the southeast. Pretty successful there.
Yeah, no question about it. You want me to give you my Florida story real quick?
Yeah, you're Florida guy, Florida man.
Okay, so here's my Florida story. It's not about the school choice thing per se, but I'll still give it to you. I grew up in Bradenton, Florida. My mother was a school teacher. My father went to jail for not paying child support. So my mother still, while all of this was going on, was attempting to send myself and my brother, two terrible children, to a private school, St. Joseph's Catholic School in Bradenton, Florida. And she did for 2 years while all this other stuff was going on. And then she just couldn't do it anymore. And so we had to go to the public school. Sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, she found a way to work three jobs to get us back in there. The church helped us and everything like that.
Wow.
So sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, we were back at private school. She couldn't do it anymore after that, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, public school. My point is this. Given the opportunity, my mother would have worked extra jobs to make that work for her kids, and she still couldn't make that work. So these teachers, these AEA reps, these legislators, Republicans and Democrats, are telling my mom, hey, my kid probably goes to a public school. You can work three jobs and you can't afford it. Tough. That's what they're saying. And I think it is just insane. I am a very fortunate person. My wife is an engineer. I am a mildly successful talk show host. I have the ability to send my child, which we enrolled him this week, into a private school. There is no reason why my producer's kid can't have the same opportunity.
Well said. Well said. Dale Jackson, as always, man, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll probably engage over. Tell folks how to, if they want to get in and talk to you and I, and maybe challenge, you know, William Wallace and the Bagpipes over on Twitter, how do they do that?
At the Dale Jackson on Twitter and Facebook.
And that where you write those books for third grade level, they get them where?
DaleJacksonBooks.com.
Excellent, man. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Bye.
All right. There he is. Dale Jackson, WVNN, Talk 99.5. Of course, you hear him on Alabama Politics TV. I was on there for about, I don't know. It was a short, this last week was short. I think I was on there for like 3 minutes. But we'll be, you'll hear me on there and Jeff on there as well. Check out the audio of that show on Saturdays here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, we'll come back and get some calls and text on this. Got a few texts in the mix as well. Jerry says, of course, the number one question for the high chief is, what is his position on the Second Amendment in the bill of the State House? Well, the high chief, the bagpipe player, that's not Dale Jackson. That's Christopher Harris from AL.com. Dale calls him English. I think he's Scottish. I think he's Scottish. And, you know, so that's where all the kilt and bagpipe stuff comes in. That's William Wallace. That's just me being cheeky, as people with Irish surnames will do. All right, 12:20 coming right back. News and the Moon Pie Minute straight ahead.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:25, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. At 1 o'clock, a little after 1 o'clock, Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine joins us Lots to talk about with the Chief, so make sure to hang out for that. Right now, I want you to check out my buddy David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars. And, you know, David, we're always talking about the selection of vehicles, and that's very important, obviously, with what y'all do. But the selection of financing is a story into itself.
And we talk about financing a lot as well, Sean, but a lot of people, I'm not sure if they think about getting a mortgage on a house, car loans, all that type of stuff, personal loans for Christmas. I mean, getting a mortgage on a house is probably easier sometimes than buying a car because you can't hide a house. Some of these guys hide cars forever, you know what I'm saying? They never intend on making a payment to begin with. But the guys that are out there that are wanting to do it right, that have had credit problems before, if they'll come see us, we can make that buying a car easy and smooth. And if you get a good car loan and you're paying on it on time all the time and you're doing what you're trying to do the right way, you can get a mortgage out there. And it just changes your whole life. I mean, the things that it can do.
Well said. People want to come see you, check out the vehicles, talk financing. How do they find you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. They can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or go to our website. We've even got a credit application on there. Secure. LCMMotorCars.com.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Right. Let's see. From the text line, Sean says, my parents sent me to a private school until the sixth grade in California when California had the best schools in the country. Transitioning to public school was almost like dropping down two grades and had a prison-like atmosphere. I tell you where I saw that is, I went down, would have been my sophomore year, graduated from the University of Alabama, but I was down in South Florida for like half a year, and I went to, this was the community college side, and I went to a place called Miami-Dade Community College, probably one of the biggest community colleges in the nation, and I walked in there, and I remember going to my first class, and the teacher afterwards said, can you stick around? I'm like, yeah, okay. He's like, why are you here? This stuff is, obviously you know all this, these things, so why are you? And I said, well, I'm down here and seeing a family member, this and that. He's like, yeah, okay. Just when he said, you could probably take some of our harder classes. So, you know, I saw it at a college level, Sean, what you're talking about. But listen, here's the point. If the hue and cry of the opponents of this, and listen, there are some parts of this school choice bill that I want to talk about and drill into, and, you know, how the money, make sure people are using the money to educate their children, because there are some bums out there. But if saying that if you do this, you will decapitate and destroy public education in the state of Alabama, if you believe that, as the detractors to the school choice bill have, aren't you admitting that what you're doing is subpar? I mean, aren't you saying that if you give them these options, they're all going to leave? Well, which I don't think is true, and the stats haven't shown, and places like Florida, everybody does not leave. But what are you saying? Aren't you making the argument that you're not providing the product needed? If your fear is, and the grandstanding in Montgomery right now is that this will make everybody flee the public school system, aren't you shooting yourself in your own foot? All right, and y'all watch those phones in there at 343-0106. If you don't get an answer right away, just hang out. Somebody will get to you. Coming up in just a second, Ray Mellick, 1819 News, is going to join me. Plus, you see Senator Tuberville signed on for this daylight saving time year round deal. Well, I'm a super big proponent of this. You've heard me talk about it before. It's the fact that Alabama, they bring bills here in Alabama, right, to put us on DST full time, but you can't do it without the yes from the federal government. So that's what Senator Tuberville and others, I think it's a Marco Rubio's bill, the Sunshine Protection Act, get that, the Florida guy, said bipartisan efforts are underway in Congress to make daylight savings time permanent across the United States, a practice currently reserved for only the nation's warmer months. So maybe easier with all the angst-ridden discussions we have out there just to kind of talk about daylight saving time. Can we just do that for the next couple hours? All right. Ray Mellick on the way in next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you here. Hey, by the way, out of the 55 hours a week, I would maybe even plus podcasts available from this station, which, by the way, side note, fastest way to get those is the first place they post is the FM Talk 106.5 app. So if you go to the Android, if you're an Android user, go to Google Play. App, iPhone user, go to the App Store and look for FM TALK 1065. That's our app. Download it. It's free. You're going to love it. And the app's aplenty on there. Like you can get, like I'm looking right now, the Mobile Rundown joins Mobile Mornings on Friday. It's kind of a rundown on all the things going on this weekend in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And there's a whole bunch, even outside of Senior Bowl. So you can get that rundown. Just go listen to that podcast real quick. Get you ready for the weekend. Check it out through our app or the website or Stitcher or iTunes or really any platform that has podcast. We're on there. So check it out. All right. Let's bring back onto the air. It's funny. He's part of a theme going on this hour. Editor-in-chief at 1819news.com, Ray Melick, is joining us. And I bet you I can get him to talk about school choice as well. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good. How are things?
How much time do you have?
Yeah. Well, we've been spending a lot of time on it. I think the short of it is, I started talking about this week, those that are calling this out, that are saying, not calling out, I think there's a fair discussion on the edges and how does this work and, you know, what constitutes a school and, you know, if you, you know, how do you take a test to make sure that you know the material at the end of the year? I think all that stuff's okay. But those that say, this will decapitate and destroy public education in the state of Alabama. Aren't they kind of making the case that they're not getting it done? In their defense, the reason for this?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that was the column I wrote the other day was basically when the AEA comes out and says, hey, this will cost us $420 million. And you do the math, you say, well, all right, if each kid takes $6,000 out of the fund to go to a different to find an alternative form of school, that's 70,000 kids they're saying are going to leave as soon as they're able to, which to me is what we've all said, is there is such a problem in public education that if that many kids or that many families want out, you need to be asking yourself what you're doing and why is that the situation, and you're making the case for school choice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're on the same page. Any defense that involves or any attack on school choice that says it's going to destroy public education in the state of Alabama tells me that y'all realize that if parents are given a choice, that they're going to choose something else. So if that, even if this bill, and I don't know if this bill makes it through this year or next year, that should be a wake-up call. For not the individual teachers. We got a lot of good, we got some bad teachers too, but we got good teachers. But for the machine to understand, you know, this is the online review of the services they provide, which, I mean, as 52nd in the nation in most academic scores, is pretty poor rating.
Well, you know, and the sad part is back in the early 2000s, we had really made progress and gotten up into the 30s. In fact, I think in 2003 or 2007, our fourth grade reading was number one in the nation. Mm-hmm. So we can do it. It's been done before, but over the last 20 years, it's just gone hard in the wrong direction. And then for the Association of School Superintendents to send out a memo saying, hey, education's heading toward a fiscal cliff, well, that's just a flat-out lie. I mean, there is more money being spent on education. Every year the budget goes up. The reserve funds are full. I mean, money is not the problem. We spend more per child on education in Alabama than any of the surrounding states. So what are we getting for that money? Well, we're not getting a product that parents appreciate because they're wanting to put their kids, as we said, somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, this is... And there have been studies out here in the last month and a half, too, that show, and for people to understand, I guess we need to set facts because people will assume, incorrectly, but we'll assume, if we have the worst outcome for education, we must be spending the least per student. That's not true. So we're spending, like you said, more than the surrounding states. We're getting poorer results. And they did a study that showed that dollar for dollar, after you reach a certain point, you do not get back better education outcomes by spending more money. So I mean, they're not starved, and there's no headroom left in this. So it's something else. It's management. It's something with the bureaucracy. It's something that needs to be changed. I understand families have a big part in this, but something else needs to change in the public school system for 70 something thousand not want to leave immediately.
Yeah, you know, and I have friends who are public school teachers. And here's where the real disconnect is. I hear from these teachers all the time that talk about having to spend their own money to provide certain things for their classrooms. So if we're spending these enormous amounts of money, and yet somehow first and second grade teachers that I know are still spending out of their own pocket and not being reimbursed, somewhere there is that money is getting clogged up. And I think we can all make a pretty good guess at its bureaucracy, its administration or building or something, but it's not actually making to the classroom. A great example, my sister was a public school first grade teacher for her whole career in Texas. And this is a whole other issue, but just to make the point, when they did the lottery, they said, you know, well, with this money, we're going to put laptops and computers in every classroom, K-12. My sister retired there after 20-something year, 30 years of teaching, and said, we never, ever saw a computer in the classroom. It never made it to our class. And I think that's part of the essence of it. And then Eric Mackey, the state board superintendent, you may have read the quote, you know, his argument was, well, if the state's going to give these parents money, we have to hold them accountable. Well, I'm sorry, Dr. Mackey, that money is the parents to begin with. And, you know, and if you're not doing a good job with it, then let them keep that money for themselves and see if they can't do something better. But the arrogance of saying, if the state's going to give them money, mm-hmm. that infuriates me.
Well, it's a big decision. Yeah, there's a large part of our population that just and no shame on them. They just they're doing whatever they do to make a living. Don't think about the fact. I mean that when you say government money, it came from in the case of state government, it came from taxpayers. Federal government, they just print it, but it's another story. But at a state level, it came from Alabamians. So yeah, it's money that we have determined through compulsory education is earmarked to educate X number of children and give them the foundation, to be better adults and be contributors to society. And by the way, side note, that putting stuff in the classroom. So I'm married to a retired public school teacher, and that is the God's honest truth. I mean, the stuff we put in those rooms, which was she did with a smile, but it cost money. It costs money. I remember I say we're paying what to do what, but yeah, it's something that is true.
Yeah, it's another study that I saw along those lines, talking about the money part of it, said that they have done test results, and when more money is put into successful programs, the testing does indeed go up. More money into poor and struggling classrooms, the testing results actually go the other way. So once again, it points out that there's plenty of money. Money's not the answer. And somehow money, as we said, is not getting down to the actual classrooms in so many cases. And there's just got to be a better solution. And, I think parents have finally woken up to the point of, if you can't do this, then let us see if we can't find the answer.
You know, we've got places to go look. It's not like this is, we're cavemen and we don't know how fire is made. If there's a school system, if there's a school system, Ray, that's kicking butt, right, that they're doing this, shouldn't we be studying the heck out of that? I mean, if I'm in that point, if there's somebody who does what I do better and they can show me a better method, I'm going to go learn and say, how'd you do that and that? Okay, that's interesting. I may try that. I mean, shouldn't we do that?
Yeah, and again, your profession, just like mine, I look and see what other people are doing, and I think, hey, that's a really good idea. Can I copy that, or how can I make that my own, or how can I adapt that to fit my situation? And the states around us are doing a much better job, so just simply look at what they're doing. I'm with you. We don't have to reinvent this thing. Let's just find out who's doing it really well, and then figure out how do we adapt that to make it work in Alabama. But they're so defensive. I mean, the AEA, the Association of School Superintendents, the School Board Association, they are so defensive and so protective about every dime. As Tim James said, and I'm not endorsing anybody for governor, but I talked to Tim James yesterday. As he said, the institution of education has become more important than the children. And I think that sums it up. I think that's it in a nutshell.
Now, it's weird when something is more important than the reason it's there. You know, I mean, it is strange. All right. Well, people can obviously read your op-ed and a whole bunch more on y'all's website. So for those who've been under a rock, tell them about 1819 News.
Great. Thank you, Sean. Yes, 1819news.com. It's a free website, daily news there every day. Not just, you know, it's anything Alabama. We try to cover the whole state. We've got a great opinion page that I think is going to be right of center and aligned with the values of most people in Alabama. We've also got podcasts, which you can see at Spotify and YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Look for 1819 News, the podcast, This Alabama Life podcast. And you can always sign up for the newsletter at 1819news.com and have all this stuff delivered to your inbox 7:30 in the morning and know what you need to know to make your day successful.
Excellent, Ray. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Sean. Great talking to you as always.
There he is, Ray Bellick, 1819news.com, and we're coming right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, this segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. I know it'd be tough to, like, set an appointment over your weekend, but think about next week. You got junk, you need it gone, you need my man Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Okay, it could be at your house, could be a storage unit. You know, it was like a weight off my shoulders when we finally got the storage unit for the radio station cleaned out. It was something, weight off the bank account, too. We paid on every month here, and I started looking. I'm like, we can get these three things, and everything else is junk. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, now we've got, it was one of the big, big storage units. I'm like, I don't want to spend the next 3 weeks getting this cleaned out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is easy to phone call. I did actually. I went online, made that appointment, set it up. They find a day that works for you. They get the thing that you have a life. So they don't do that spectrum of time. They say, okay, what day works? You know, okay, it's Thursday. Thursday works for you. What time? Okay, this window of time. And then they show up. It's like a good old-fashioned appointment. You point at the stuff you want gone. In this case, I said everything in that storage unit. They get rid of it. They actually swept up and cleaned up the storage unit afterwards, which gave us all our money back in the deposit. They get it done and get gone. It's just that easy. For you to make an appointment, go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and set that appointment for sometime next week. I know you don't want to do it on your Friday or Senior Bowl Saturday, but sometime next week, reach out to them. All right, let's go to the phones first. I got texts, but phones go first, and Derek is in Fairhope. Hey, Derek.
Think Trey is going to be able to handle the Alabama education system?
Do I think who is?
You think Trey is going to be able to handle the Alabama education system? He's got
Are you think he's going to haul? Yeah, he's going to haul away the. I got to ask Trey if he picks up Alabama education system. So I'm going to ask him though and see if that is something he picks up and disposes of. What do you think? I mean, Derek, well, you're a thinker here. I mean, this idea that the pushback on this is you'll decapitate and destroy the school system if you give parents options. Doesn't that make an argument that you're not doing your job?
It completely does. Because as a parent with a 10-year-old problem child at times, you know, one of the things that I as a parent, and I think a lot of parents see, is that the education system is inflexible. That there is one way and there's one way only. And children learn different ways. And when you actually look at a classroom that we have now, it's when I go into my son's classroom, it is no different than my classroom was 35 years ago. And as a parent, I look at what I get results of versus what they get. It's two completely separate things. Now, I'm not knocking. We've got great teachers. You know, I'm not knocking them. But there is a way that they teach. And if your child cannot, you know, conform to that method, well, then they're going to get labeled. One of the things that, you know, I've done every TEDx, you know, talk on education. I've been down this road for the last 3 years trying to figure out what in the hell is going on. And there's a good story, and I'm not going to take up all the time, but the invention of the chalkboard revolutionized the way that teaching was taught. It spread like fire through the education system. Now, if there's a good idea, it dies where that idea was started. And that's the problem with our modern education system. They do not adapt.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was saying to Ray, Derek, is that, I mean, if I'm in the, and I'm not saying they haven't. Maybe they have, and for some reason they couldn't implement it. But if I'm working at a state level for the school, and you tell me that this school in Georgia is kicking butt, or this Florida, then, man, I'm going to go, like, hey, Florida school, can I come hang over your shoulder for a little bit and see how you do it?
Yeah.
I want, because I have no pride in it. My pride is producing, you know, the best educated Alabama children possible. So I'll go anywhere and look at how you do it.
Anywhere, you know. But I don't think that when you get, especially when, I don't want to knock Baldwin County, but I've gone through how the spending and all of that, and if you look at what the top bureaucracy gets versus what the teachers, especially too with any kind of increase in taxes, you're not looking at any gains as far as the classrooms the teachers go, but you're looking at more top heavy across the, and that's across the entire system. We've got to put it back in the educators' hands, because if not, this is what happens. You're looking at an educational revolt. And I think that really, in reality, I think the best solution is something that I hope they bring up, is a hybrid system.
How's that? How would that work? How would that work? A hybrid system, meaning what?
So the way that I've looked at it, because with my kid, you know, I need access to the educational programs that they have. You know, the Baldwin County student portal is awesome. You know, we use it all the time. For me to go out as a parent and try to find everything that they have found is impossible. You know, I mean, especially too, at the bulk, which they're able to get these apps at a discount and all of that. And if you're still going to have to deal with state testing, you know, for your Common Core, which, you know, I'm on the fence about Common Core. I have a good argument against and for it. You're still letting the state, you know, have a say as far as the basic requirements, but you're giving the parents the ability to teach that in varying ways. And also, too, this is where I'm going to get on to parents about, because I've said this about Republicans. We have, as parents, delegated our responsibility to the state for teaching our children without knowing that the state only has to provide you with a basic education. It's free. Why are you complaining? It's still the parents' responsibility to go above and beyond to teach their children what they really want to know. So as far as parents getting all upset about that, well, I think they should teach this, I teach that. Well, that's fine. You as a parent can take that on as your own responsibility, because once again, it is your child.
Well said, Derek. Man, I appreciate your call. It is. There's that personal responsibility. And before somebody types a text and go, well, I do that. I do it, Derek. Okay, that's fine. But not everybody's doing it. So there is. Listen, there is some defense there that if you don't, I mean, it's, who was saying it the other day? And I think it's correct. That the three-legged stool, right? You have the school, you have the student, and you have the parents to make this happen. So maybe this gives parents an option to at least be responsible for two, right? I mean, they're responsible for what they do at home. And I would imagine the parents that are taking the extra time at home are going to be the folks that first step up and say, well, maybe I need to use this option and move my child to another school. Now, once again, this is an idealistic discussion at this point, because I really don't think, and conversations I'm having off the record and what's going on in Montgomery, I don't think this passes. I don't think this passes in its first run. I think this is a beginning of a discussion. You know, would you hear Dale Jackson said somebody told him it'd take 25 years? I'm not that negative. I think this is maybe 3 years. 3 years. But this is the opening salvo of this. Or if it made changes in the public school system because of the threat of this, I still would like it to be an option for parents. But if it made changes, then that's a good thing, too. Because the outcome we want is the best education for that individual student that they can get. And not every student's the same, going to perform the same way, but give them the best chance to be as good as they can be. Then after that, you know, then you can't control that, but you have to be able to give. And if we look at other states, like we're spending more per pupil than the surrounding states, and they're getting better results. Don't you, if you were doing that in a, whatever, and I hate to say business all the time, it's almost a cliche. If you're in a business, but if you were even in your life, okay, and you're trying to do something at your house, and your neighbors are getting better results from whatever they're using, whatever service they're using or something like that, they're crushing yours, right? Wouldn't you go over and say, hey, what do y'all do? How do you get that done? How's your exterior cleaner, or your yard's growing better, or your satsumas are juicier, or whatever it is? What are y'all doing? Oh, well, Sean, we do XYZ. Oh, man, that's good intel, man. I appreciate that. I'm going to implement that at my house. Why, wouldn't you want to do that? All right. Hour number two on the way. Joining us here in just a couple minutes, Chief of Police for the City of Mobile, Paul Prine, is going to join us. Lots to talk about with the chief. Your questions, we can get in on the text line at 343-0106. 343-0106. Check us out there. And also, check out the podcast of this show, 55 hours a week of live local programming. Wherever you get your podcasts, like I said, the fastest way to get them is through the FM Talk 106.5 app. That's the... That's where they post first. So, all right. 1258. Be right back.